For more than 25 years, Indiana Bible College has partnered with pastors, with parents, and with students from all over the world to train tomorrow's leaders today. As fall enrollment approaches, we invite you to check out what Indiana Bible College has to offer. Visit www.gotoibc.com. If you're not sure what we have, check out the Programs tab, where you can find out more about the biblical studies, the missiology, and the worship studies programs that we have. If you're a college graduate, check out the one-year and two-year bachelor programs for accelerated classes that you can be a part of and earn a second bachelor in just a short time. If you're not sure how to go to the application process, check out the admissions tab where we spell out the entire process for you right there, simple steps. We look forward to partnering with your pastor, with your parents, and with you to train the leaders of tomorrow at Indiana Bible College today. This week on the Indiana Bible College Chapel podcast, we have Sister Angela Labunsky preaching a message entitled, "What is Your Reflection?"
Praise the Lord, it's so good to be here with you all today. Chapel has always been one of my favorite things here, probably one of yours as well. And getting to see the different students come up and share their hearts really has been wonderful. I want to give thanks to First of all Student Council for letting me have this opportunity. Wow. Brother Galleon, Brother Rodenbusch, all the rest of the staff. If it hasn't been for the staff, I definitely wouldn't have been able to even prepare a message or know how to let God speak through me. Thank you, Tia, for the Spirit of God, for leading us into the Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful just to be in the presence of God? There's something about being in the presence of God, and there's something about hearing the Word of God. So if you would just turn with me to James 1, 23 and 24. And the Word of the Lord says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And for just a little bit, I would like to talk to you about this one question. What is covering you? What is covering you? If we could just pray real quick. God, we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word today. God, it's nothing that I am going to say, but Lord, it's your Spirit that is going to strengthen us. God, that is going to keep us, that's going to purify us today. God, and we want that here. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. So C.S. Lewis wrote quite a few books, but I was reading one of his a couple weeks ago. This is very funny because Brett was the one who showed me the book. It was The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. There's a very interesting story in this book. I was reading it for pure pleasure. I didn't want to think about anything. I wanted to get away from Brother Kilman's stuff, his classes, his books, all that intense thought. I'm like, I just need something that is pure enjoyment. So I was reading it, fictional reading. And I got to this one point. I didn't want to be challenged. I didn't want anything that was, you know, going to make me grow. And I got to this one story, and it hit me so hard. It was like I was looking in a glass. I saw a reflection of myself. And the story starts out with a young boy whose name is Eustace Grubb. And he's quite an immature boy. He ends up in the land of Narnia, and he doesn't want to be there. He's with his cousins. He's on this ship. He doesn't want to be there. He's hateful. He tries stealing things. He tries getting away with things. He feels like everyone's against him. And they end up landing at a certain place. And he decides, I'm going to go off on my own and not tell anyone. And so he goes to some trees. And he goes up a hill and he lays down. And fog rolls in. And he's like, oh, I better go back down. And he runs back down the hill. And he realizes he went down the wrong way. And he looks around, and there's nothing familiar. He looks back up, and there's no way to get back up. And he's like, how am I gonna get around? And he sees this pool. He's like, oh, I'm going to get a drink from this pool of water. And he walks to the pool. And as he's headed there, a dragon comes out of a cave and gets to the water and drinks some of the water and just dies. And so he's like, okay, whatever. He's not very sympathetic of kind of person. He just doesn't really care. Goes and gets a drink of water. And it starts to rain, and so he decides to take shelter in the cave that the dragon came out of. He goes in the cave, and he finds all of this treasure, gold, jewels, everything that he wants. And he's like, wow, fortune has come upon me. I'm going to be someone great. They're going to have to listen to me now. Oh, I'm going to have all this glory of men. I'm going to be king. I can have as much as I want. I can have whatever. He starts filling his pockets. He puts on his arm this diamond bracelet, and he falls asleep. When he wakes up, he leaves the cave, and he goes to get a drink out of the water, and he looks down into the water, and he sees his reflection, and he had become a dragon. So I want to ask you today, when is the last time you looked at your reflection? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I know we're at Bible college, but it's so easy. We think we're on the right way, or maybe we start off on the wrong way, and we begin traveling, and maybe we got off on the wrong path. See, every single one of us can say right now, I think I'm on the right path today. I think I'm doing the right thing. But you don't see the end of where you're going. You don't see where you're going to end up. Only God can see that. And so you only know that you're on this path, and you're hoping that it's the right one. But let me tell you today, sin is a deceiver. And it feels good for a while, and it feels like you're on the right thing for a while, but pretty soon you end up somewhere you didn't expect to be. And you get there, and you're like, how did I get here? God, this is not where I thought I was going. You might say today, that wouldn't happen to me. My heart is good. I want good things. I want to do right. So I just know if I were going on the wrong direction. But Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Your heart is made of flesh. Your heart has fleshly desires. It wants what's good for you. It's carnal, has desires of the world. That's why when David, a man after God's own heart, prayed, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He was a man after God's own heart, but even he realized that on the way, he could get stuck back in a cave somewhere with all those riches. He gets stuck and go, oh, look what I could do with all this, and not realize that he had gotten so off track. So I'm going to ask you today, what do you find more needful, the glory of men or the glory of God? Romans 8:5-6 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is on your mind most of the time? Is it spiritual or is it carnal? Does it have to do with things of this world or things of the world that we're supposed to be representing? King Saul was anointed by God. He was anointed by God. And he had so many battles that he won. He was doing everything right. And God asked him to give up something that wasn't a sin. Was it a sin? For him, God said, destroy what you take in battle, all of it. Was it a sin for him to have what he had taken in battle? No, it wasn't necessarily. It's the right of whoever wins the battle to have, you know, the riches and the cattle and all of that. But God asked him to give it up. God was testing him. He was seeing if he would choose the glory of God over the glory of men. King Saul had finally come to a place where he felt like he could do whatever he wanted and still have the anointing of God. He felt that maybe I got here by my own talent instead of the anointing of God. I know Brother Mooney has been talking about this. He says you can't do it without God. We try that. We start out and we have our talent and we have the anointing. We go. And maybe somewhere along the way, we accidentally lose that anointing and realize, wow, I can still do it by myself. I can still win the battle by myself and keep all the riches too. And things start to build up. Before you know it, you've taken a little sidetrack. You found something. You're like, wow, I can have all of this. this glory, all this riches, and without, you know, anything coming against me. And things start to build up. The story continues, and Eustace, the guy who'd become the dragon, he becomes upset with himself. He looked in the reflection. He didn't like what he saw. And his arm was hurting because a bracelet, that diamond bracelet, had like gotten stuck in his arm, and he starts to like try to claw it off, and it won't come off. But he doesn't like what he saw. I know a lot of times we come into service, and we get to the altar, and we reflect, and we see a reflection of ourselves, and we don't like what we see. I can tell you almost every time in the altar, I don't like what I see when I reflect. And we cry a little bit, we scratch a little bit at that, and we try to take off, and it doesn't work, and so we're like, well, that's it, I'm just going to go. How often do we come to the altar, get convicted about something, then leave and promptly forget what God dealt with us about? Maybe he dealt with you about a burden for souls. Maybe he wants you to go out and reach more people. Maybe he doesn't want you to be as selfish and keeping everything to yourself and go out and win someone. Maybe he gave you a little conviction about a TV show that you're probably not supposed to be watching here, or a video game, or maybe too much social media or a friend that you have. If it isn't a sin, does it really matter? The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, what do I have to do? And he said, oh, this commandment, this commandment, this commandment. He said, oh, you know, I've done all this since from my youth up. What else? And Jesus said, he searched him. And he said, go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and come and have treasure in heaven and follow me. Was it a sin for the rich young ruler to have what he had? In that moment, the rich young ruler saw a reflection of himself. Was it necessarily a sin? It was a conviction God was giving him because he looked into him and said, I can see what can make you fall in later days, and this is what it is. And if you give this up, you can have treasure in heaven, something so much greater, something so much more powerful, and you can come and follow me. Come and follow me. And he walks away. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The story of Eustace ends. He starts to change his ways. He starts to change from the inside. And though he can't quite tug off that bracelet that's digging into him and it's making him hurt, he starts to change on the inside and really repent of the person he was. And the lion comes and he brings him to this garden, this beautiful garden. There's this lake there. And Eustace knows that if he gets into that lake, he knows that he will be changed. Like his arm will stop hurting. And the lion says, no, but you have to undress yourself first. And so he starts scratching at his skin, and like he pulls off a layer of the dragon skin. And he starts getting, he looks down, he notices another layer of skin. And so he scratches at that one, he pulls it off. He does this 3 times, and it's still there. It still stays there. How many times do we come into the altar of God and we start reflecting and we start scratching our layers? We pull one off and we think, oh, I'm good now. And we walk out and then we look down and we're like, wait, didn't I just pull that off? Didn't I just get rid of that at the altar? And the lion looked at him and said, no, you have to let me undress you. And so in fear, he lays down and the lion takes his claw and he says it digs all the way down to his heart. It hurt more than anything. When he scratched off his skin, it didn't really hurt that bad, but this hurt so bad. He pulled it off, and he threw it out. And when he put him in the water, he had become a boy again. When he came out, he clothed him in new clothes. I don't know what's covering your heart. I don't know what's covering your soul today. I don't know what is your thing, what God convicted you about. I know what he's convicted me about. But what's our appetite? What is our heart covered with? I know here at IBC, we are spoon-fed every single day. Chapel, church, class. Every single day, we are literally spoon-fed. But I have a question for you. Do you know how to feed yourself? Do you know how to feed yourself? What is your prayer life like? Do you even have a prayer life, or has it overcome? Your personal devotions have been overcome by late-night practices and studying. I know we're having spring break soon, but is God like another class or assignment where we can take a break from him too? Is he even a plan in our spring break? Bible college students, if we don't take this seriously, who will? I know Brother Mooney preached last year about churches becoming like skate parks and restaurants. And I can tell you this, without God, and without the glory of God covering us, that's what our lives are going to be like. It's just going to be an inspiring word. I'm going to get up here. I'm just going to say an inspiring word. You're going to feel inspired. You're going to walk out. There's going to be no change. Someone, Tia's going to get up and she's going to sing a beautiful song. They can get a beautiful song anywhere. They can get an inspiring word anywhere. But they cannot get the glory of God anywhere. But in the house of God, someone that is filled with the Spirit of God. So I ask you today, what is covering you? I know last year around this time, we had a lot of us had a deep reflection when one of our own was lost, Ashley McCullough. At 19 years old, she left. God called her home. That's probably younger than a lot of us here today. I'm going to ask you, are you ready to go? If you left tomorrow and you found yourself before the King of Kings, would God look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Would he look at you and you're a reflection of his glory, of his power, of his grace? Or are you covered and coated with carnality in the world? So I ask you today, what is covering you?